First and foremost, thank you so much for checking out Welcome to Sunderland. I feel like with any of my TTRPG projects, there's always going to be this kind of caveat at the beginning. We had audio issues in the first session, so the first two episodes in this series gonna sound a little rough at times, but I assure you it is worth it. Please stick around. We have had so much fun playing in this world, and we're excited to share it all with you, so please stick around. You're not gonna regret it.
Good morning, Sunderland. It is now 8:30 in the a.m. Let's take a look at last night's sighting report, sponsored by the Saucer Swirl. The next time you stop into the swirl, order yourself a cosmic swirl and get lost in the Milky Way. First up, Richard H. reports that he has been visited by a quote-unquote gray in the middle of the night. Richard claims that they have asked him how bed sheets work before fleeing out the room. Jeff Demers reports an encounter with a tall reptilian figure named Quetal, who stopped him in the middle of the street and asked him if he knew a woman named Susan. Upon answering, the figure mysteriously disappeared. And lastly, Lindsay S. reports a shadow man encounter. According to the report, the figure known as the Hat Man showed up at her workplace, the Coral Chemical Company, and demanded payment for a debt. After handing the Hat Man $20, he looked at it for a few moments before finally disappearing into the wall. Let's switch gears. Let's head on over to the Weird Sunderland File, sponsored by The Missing Times, April 18th, 1970. Rodney Hannicutt was driving home after hanging out with friends and drinking. Just on the outskirts of the Blocker Woods, he saw a figure on the left-hand side of the road putting their thumb up to hitchhike. While he wouldn't normally stop to pick up a hitchhiker, Rodney decided to be a good Samaritan and offer the guy a ride. When he climbed in, he told him where he lived, and he started driving that direction. When the man asked for a cigarette and held out his hand, he realized that he was looking at a frogman. The strange frogman waited until he dropped off to light the cigarette, and a few moments later, promptly exploded. Listen up, everyone in Sunderland. Y'all are in for a sunny day. Highs in the mid-60s and a little bit cooler in the evening. Welcome to Sunderland, where everything is strange, but nobody seems to notice.
That's our resident DJ, Art Sunderland. Art Hasty. He's got his finger on the pulse of Sunderland. But before we really get into like the character introductions and stuff, what's up, everybody? So welcome to Sunderland. Just a little background on this. What we're doing is it's a modern day kind of Dungeons and Dragons thing, but it's set in a world where a lot of weird stuff happens. Nobody seems to notice, except for maybe like a few people. But if you want to check out like the social media for this podcast, it is absolutely fantastic what we're doing. So the main page is Sunderland RPG on Twitter and Instagram. And we have another page on Twitter called at Weird Sunderland, and basically what it is like lore about the town and like famous sightings and stuff like that. So if you want like kind of like to get a lot of your like lore information about this town, you want to follow Weird Sunderland on Twitter. And I'm having fun just like posting random stuff that I'm making up off the top of my head. But we're gonna go to player introductions, and we're gonna get into what these characters do in their average day. So we are going to start with Remy Dean. Chris, please introduce your character, and let's what do you do during your day?
Hi all, my name is Remy Dean. You can find me usually on the side of the road with my telephotographic lens, taking pictures. Sometimes I'm out in the field doing little investigative work, really following up on the cases that we've been getting. I'm really hoping to level up in the detective world. The chief has really got his eyes on me. He's been telling me the last 3 years that it's going to come down the line, this promotion, so I'm kind of excited. But other than that, my favorite thing to do in the morning is turn on Art Hasty. I love listening to those stories. I love the history of this town. The people are mighty kind. They work real hard every day, and if there's a murder, they let me know about it, that's for sure. Of course, there hasn't been one, but they like to tell me that, you know, if there was one, then they would come and talk to me. So, but Remy Dean, if somebody's being mean, you call Remy Dean.
Absolutely. You're not really, full time with the sheriff's department. You're trying.
I'm trying.
You are intensely trying. And could you explain where your office is located out of?
Oh, well. My office. I mean, I do enjoy the office in my car. and also, they did give me a stall of my own in the bathroom. It's mighty fine. I try to traverse from space to space as best I can.
It's a typical day in Sunderland today. There's a call that comes in. There's a dead body downtown. Now, Y'all are getting this call at the same time. Are you kind of one of those people that get up and go when you get kind of a call like this?
I hear the code, and the minute I hear that code, I'm up and I go, I got it, y'all. I'll go. I'm going right now. So I'm out the door. I get my pack. I make sure that I have my kits with me, ready to go. Any forensic evidence collecting that I need. It's a kind of a small department, so we have a few things. Cotton swabs are always on the Sam's Club list. We have to go get a bulk size, you know, things like that. So, but they don't mind me doing it. They send me out the door.
You're out the door immediately, and you respond to this call, and the only details that you get is that there was a dead body discovered by one of the tenants of an apartment building on the east side of town. You head on over there. You're the first on the scene. You walk into the room. You see there is a dead body on the floor. It's in the living room. Do you want to go over and take a look at it? And
well, hell yeah, I do. There's a dead body. I'm excited as a lizard on a perch in the sun eating an insect. I'm ready to go. Let's do it. I run over to the body.
Okay, you're looking at it, and one thing that you notice is like the right arm of this person is entirely green. Is very, you've never seen anything like that before. And this person is laying on their stomach, like just face down. What exactly do you want to look at when it comes to this body?
Now, could I try to maybe look at the green? Now, logically, my head would be like, oh, I've heard of this. This is cosplay. Now, they get in the costume and they paint themselves like a character, and this could be some kind of paint, but is there a way that I could get in and maybe get a little closer and take a look at the arm? And I'm going to take out from my kit, I have a investigation kit, and I'm going to take out a pair of gloves, and I snap them on like that real noise you hear when the prostate exam's about to happen, and I'm going to lean right down and kind of rub my hands together and just get in real close and start looking.
What you notice, first and foremost, is that it doesn't look like green paint. Like, it looks like his skin has just turned green. Like, you're careful, and you try to rub it off or something like that, and it just it won't come off. And, you know, a quick survey of the room, there's no paint anywhere. You know, there's like, this guy doesn't appear to be a cosplayer. The vibe that you would be picking up from this guy is like, sci-fi nerd for one. but not like in the sense that he was much of a cosplayer, but he did enjoy like science fiction novels and shows and stuff like that.
Do I know who it is?
No, you don't know who it is. Well, actually, you can kind of, if you want to, like, check the body for any credentials, you can absolutely do that.
Yeah, after I get done kind of checking the arm out, I'm going to kind of pat him down and check his back pockets and check his front pockets if I can lift up the body a little bit, start seeing if he's got anything on him.
Okay. He does have a wallet on him. And you pull it out. You're careful. You're wearing gloves and everything. The gentleman's name is Carter Potts.
Carter Potts. And I'm gonna take the wallet and I close it, not immediately write the name down, taking notes in my case file real quick.
Mm-hmm. What else would you like to do while you're in this room?
Well, if it's a dead body, I'd like to try and identify why it's dead. Can I tell? Was he hit in the head? Can I, some sort of wound? Is there anything I can identify, or you know, to kind of tell if this body has been aggressively deceased in some way?
Not from what you could tell. There's you know, just through your examination of it, there's no blunt force trauma or anything like that. There are no wounds that you can see. He's
no
just
blood.
No blood, nothing. He's just lying there with no real cause. Weird green arm, just face down on the carpet.
Can I look around? Like, am I in? I can assume I'm in his apartment. Like, it's his, mm-hmm. his. Yep. You know, like I probably got let in by the landlady or the landlord into this room. Taking a cursory glance of the room, like, can it, no signs of struggle, nothing that I can kind of see. He's where, in terms of the placement of the body, like, where is he in his living room? Is he near a window? Anything like that?
His body is like right, like next to the couch. It kind of almost seems like he got up and just fell down.
Oh no. He got up and fell down and he didn't have a life alert or anything. That's rough. All right.
There is you know, in your cursory glance around, you do see drug paraphernalia on the on like the coffee table.
All right, I'm going to go over and carefully, I'm gonna. What kind of drug are we talking about? Like drugs, like plural, or like one specific kind of drug, or is it Mama's Little Helpers, or are we talking, you know, marijuana?
So it looks like a marijuana pipe for sure, but there's no drugs from what you can see. Like you're looking down at this pipe and there isn't any residue in the pipe. There's nothing, but there is this kind of, there's an empty like small baggie next to it, but it looks like there's nothing inside it.
Yeah, I didn't smell the skunk gunk when I came in, but can I kind of get in real close and with the pipe, I'm going to take out a bag and I'm going to carefully get out tweezers and pick it up and put it into a bag, start collecting that evidence. Hopefully there's some DNA trace still left on that. If it was used at some time, but we all know time makes that hard. I'm going to look around and I don't see any other type of drugs or anything. Drugs I would think are pretty common. You know, everybody likes to relax on the weekend, so, you know, weed isn't uncommon, but I don't smell anything. I don't see anything else. It's just kind of like a setup right here. Does it feel like it was placed here, like on purpose, or does it look like it might have been used at some point?
It's tough to really tell because, like, it looks so clean, which is weird. But, I mean, the pipe does have some use on it. There's definitely some old residue, but it's like very, it probably smoked it like maybe, I don't know, earlier in the week or something like that. But yeah, it's just, it's for, by and large, just very clean.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead and just put the Ziploc on it, lock it up, put it in my kit.
And as you're gathering that stuff and putting it into a kit, there's this big black guy that comes in that you know is the sheriff. His name is Bob Good. And Bob Good has a pet alligator with him. He brings it everywhere he goes. This is pet alligator is named Irwin. And he's followed by kind of a squirrely looking guy that his name is Buford Bushrow. But he walks in, he's like, "Well, what do we have here? What is going on there, Remy?"
Bobby G, best that it can be. Hi. Come on over here, boss. Let me show you what I've got laid out here. Dead body, estimated age, I'm going to say 25, maybe a little bit older, but a youthful lad. His name, I've already forgotten his name.
Carter Potts.
Carter Potts. I wrote it down and I was like, oh no, which one is his name? I was like, oh no, I wrote Art Hasty. I was like, no, that's the DJ. Carter Potts. I haven't quite dug into his background yet. Assuming probably a local boy. A couple items of drug paraphernalia around here, but just starting to get the layout. If you catch my drift.
See that right there. That, why is that man's arm green?
Well,
that's very strange.
Well, yes, but I do want to say that it is green. I have identified that it is not body paint, so he was not in cosplay. However, beyond that, I have not identified why it is green.
Buford, why don't you get over here and take a look at this this here body? And the squirrely looking fella, he's like, "Yes, sir, coming on right on over there." And he comes over and he takes a look at it. And, did you notice this thing? Right, there's something wrong with the face. Did you notice that? That's weird. Maybe we should flip the body over.
Yeah, sure. Let's be careful not to disturb any of the scenery. Buford, if you wanna get one side, we can. I'll lift from this side. Irwin.
Contaminating, you know, crime scenes. It happens from time to time. But yeah, let's do it carefully. And you flip it over. And you notice that immediately one of Carter Potts' eyes, because his eyes are like open, but it doesn't matter because it looks like one eye is like enlarged and it's black. It's just a black, glossy eye. And it is freaky. It is very freaky when you see it. Would you be freaked out by that if you saw it?
I would let out a low whistle, kind of like, whew. I mean, I didn't know drugs did that to you, but that is unfortunate to see. Whew.
And Buford immediately like jumps back. Oh my God! What is this? What is going on? And he runs out of the room. He's scared to death.
If you're gonna vomit, go down the stairs and to the left. There's a yeah, okay. Oh.
Sheriff Good just walks over. He's like, "I believe that's something I have never seen before. But let's get that forensic team in here and we'll clean this on up." We're gonna cut away and we're going to head over to Serena Jade. So, Jen, if you could introduce your character and give us an idea of what the average day for Serena Jade is like.
My name is Serena Jade, but Serena doesn't have her real job. That's you know. Serena's average day, she wakes up at about 11 or 12. And the first thing she usually does is she checks on her garden. It is an indoor garden. She's very proud of this garden. And she doesn't really let people look at it. It's under a lot of really strong lights, but she checks on her garden to make sure everything's good. She checks Twitter. She spends quite a lot of time checking on. She has a particular feud going on with the Coral Chemical, or Coral, is it Coral Cleaning Company or Coral Chemical Company? Their social media person, and her has a long going Twitter feud. So she'll make herself some coffee and spend a couple of hours, you know, on Twitter stirring up shit and getting into Twitter arguments. Usually at around 2 or 3 in the afternoon, that is when she goes and meets with various business associates, where she makes, you know, she makes enough money to get by for the day. And then she goes home and plays video games until well into the night and gets back on Twitter. So that is a day in the life of Serena Jade.
That is a day in the life of Serena Jade. That's a hell of a day right there, you know? You get a notification on your phone, and it's a Twitter notification. And you know automatically it's the Coral Chemical Company's account. And they're taking you to the, you know, to the cleaners, or they're trying to, you know. And like, this person that you're interacting with is like very snobby in the way that they do things, because, you know, they have the pedigree. This is a company that's been around since the 1950s. Hell, this entire town was built around the Coral Chemical Company. And if you look, the Coral Chemical Company is kind of basically built into a mountain in a way. It's built kind of on top of one. You get this notification, and the tweeter has stated, I'd be curious what Serena Jade's numbers are, because they are laughable compared to anything that the Coral Chemical Company has sold, even within the last day. So, you know, something like that, talking about numbers.
And I quote tweet them, and I say, I would just like to correct the record here, as my alternative cleaning products that are all natural and not harmful at all, by the way, are doing very, very well. And I take a selfie of me in front of a really fancy car that's not mine, but the obvious implication of the photo is that it is mine.
A little while later, you get another, you know, another notification from Twitter. It's a quote tweet of your quote tweet, and the person has pointed out that they found the original photo of this car that you found, and they have tweeted it to show that you are kind of like, you know, BSing and saying, oh yeah, we really totally trust this person, we totally trust those numbers. And yeah, they, you know, just razzing you a little bit more.
And I just double down and say, how do you, I, this is my car. I bought this car this morning. Probably going to sell it this afternoon because it's not up to my very high standards of vehicle. So you're just embarrassing yourself at this point.
And you get another notification, only it's not from the Coral Chemical Company. It's from a woman named Mary Keel, who owns the car dealership in town, Keel's Wheels. And she says, come on down any day. Just come talk to me, sweetheart. I will absolutely hook you up with a fantastic new car. Just come on down.
I blocked that account.
You do know Mary Keel. She is the, like, to describe Mary Keel, she is, you know how, you know, some people are described as, talking with their eyes. Well, she talks with not only her eyes, but her incredibly wide smile. Like, her smile, it can tell stories. It's just, it's very off-putting, But she is the only car dealership in town, so you know, interesting response that you just like block her.
I have this habit of blocking and then unblocking accounts over and over again, and so I've probably already blocked her 5 or 6 times in the past, and will likely unblock her later. And I hope that she doesn't take it personally.
She doesn't, because Mary Keel is all about, you know, the power of the dollar. She's all about making money selling these cars.
One of my business associates, one of my customers.
You know what? Yeah, she probably is one of your customers. So,
I block her and then I text her.
What do you text her? Like, how do you kind of like assuage this?
I say, I'll be by later today. I'm gonna bring those brownies that you like. No charge this time.
You do make a trip. Like, what is Serena J's car actually like?
My actual car. It's not a terrible car. It's a hybrid. Because appearances matter to me, and also I don't usually have a lot of gas money. It is green. And I have tinted the windows. My friend Remy keeps reminding me that that's an illegal tint. And so occasionally I will take it off to, you know, kind of assuage the local justice of the peace. But then I always put it back. And it's got a broken headlight. And one of the mirrors is taped on. But she works and runs wonderfully.
Excellent. So you make a trip on down to Keel's Wheels to massage it over and iron things out here. I trust you have your brownies with you.
I have my brownies. Yeah, special recipe.
Okay, so you walk in and the moment she sees you, her face lights up, and like the thing is like her face always seems lit up anyway, but it kind of lights up a little bit more. And she just comes over. It's like, oh, Serena, dear, thank you so much for visiting me at my work with these. I could definitely use them today.
I've always known what you want.
Yes. Yes, you always know what I want. So, darling, what's this about you needing a new car?
Don't need a new car. The one I got is just perfectly fine. But unless you're trying to get rid of one.
Well, you know, just the way that you're, you know, photoshopping cars and yourself in these pictures, it doesn't look good. I mean, I could. Oh, I've got a great car for you here, and I know that, you know, reputation is a big thing for you, but. Please, I could hook you up with such a great car. I mean, that's... What are you driving? Oh my god. Is that what you're driving out there?
Well, it's my car. I've had this car for years. What's wrong with my car?
What's wrong with that car? What's wrong with that car is I didn't sell it to you. I could sell you a car right now.
What you got?
You know?
What you got? What are you trying to sell? What about that one I photoshopped into my picture?
I mean, I could get you one like that. Tell me your price range, because I think we could get you in a car just like that.
So would Serena have a lot of money tucked away somewhere?
I think that's up to you. Like, when it comes to like money in this world, there will be some limits, but just given your occupation that we're you know, hinting at here, I would suspect that you have money, like a decent amount of money.
Yeah, I think Serena probably wouldn't have a bank account, wouldn't have a credit history, but would have wads of cash stuffed in random hiding places throughout her apartment and possibly also the town. I'll give her kind of my budget. It's certainly not going to be enough to pay cash for a really expensive car, but I could probably come up with some money to buy something nice outright if she really, really pushed me hard on it.
Oh my goodness. So, yes. Wow. That's your budget, you say. Well, I think we could get you in to a brand new Mustang. I think you would look fantastic in it. I think you should buy the Mustang. And she looks at you. She has this very, like, for one, her eyes look very big. Like, not like alien big, but like they're just like just very, very big. And it's a feature of hers that like sticks out. And it's definitely one that, yeah, just like kind of catches you off guard. But it's her smile that really, really does it, though, because like she her mouth just seems wider than like the average person's mouth. And it is kind of hypnotic and terrifying to look at. So how do you respond when she says that you need to buy this car?
Is it like a roller, like a wisdom roll or something I should make right here to see if I'm swayed to buy the car?
Yeah, roll me a wisdom saving throw.
All right, I rolled a 15.
You almost feel like she's like really working you. There's, I don't know, some kind of element that's like external to what she's doing that's like trying to win an influence over you, but you kind of shrug it aside a little bit, so it doesn't affect you.
I am thoroughly creeped out and definitely feel a shiver go down my spine. But I say, you know what? I'll think about it. Maybe next time.
She says, oh, okay, dear. I'm sorry if I frightened you, but okay, I will. We'll follow up, you know, we'll follow up. In the meanwhile, thank you for the brownies and thank you for unblocking me on Twitter. That was... I felt like I had hurt you because I was merely just trying to help you, but I appreciate it. And she walks you to the door. You go about your day, but as she's turning around and, you know, going back inside, she drops a book and she doesn't seem to notice.
I quickly just scoop it up and take it. As I leave, like, I don't even like take the time to look at it. I just grab it and walk out. And I'm not going to try to look at it until I'm safely away from the car dealership.
Okay. Where would you be going after heading to the car dealership?
If I have visited all of my business associates around town, then I would probably head home after that for to play some video games.
You're home, and would you be perhaps playing, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, maybe? You know?
I would very likely be playing Tears of the Kingdom, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm tweeting up.
About Tears. It. Yeah, I'm tweeting about it while I'm playing.
And you do get one notification from the Coral Chemical Company. It's like, oh, wow, really selling products there.
I've sold so many products that I don't even have to work a full day, unlike you, you corporate shill.
And you get another notification. If you sold so many products, tell me, how many people work for your company? Because it does seem like a lot.
I work for myself, and I don't need anyone else to work for me, which is how I save money on overhead. Go to business school.
With that, the Coral Chemical Company stops, and you're continuing to play Tears of the Kingdom, and you realize that you have that book. So you pull it out, start to flip through it, and it doesn't make sense. It's kind of like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends, Influence People, what, you know, his book, but it looks like it's been written by the Men in Black. You see the words Men in Black on it numerous times, and it is kind of the strange manual about kind of manipulate people and get them to do what you want and stuff like that. But it's using kind of supernatural techniques to do it. It doesn't fully make sense to you when you're flipping through it, but it's very weird to you. Like, how would you be reacting, you know, with this book in your hand?
I am immediately trying to see if I can decipher enough of it to be able to use these techniques on Twitter against my arch nemesis, the Coral Chemical Company.
One of the things that it recommends is like being absolutely absurd in your arguments. And it cites this one example where this one Men in Black agent was trying to get a doctor to stop his research into alien abductions. And in doing so, the tactics that they used were essentially like to be completely like off the rails, like say really weird stuff. And then in this encounter, this man in black told this one witness and asked him if he knew how a certain UFO witness died, and then came up with a really like absolutely absurd answer, which was he lacked a pelvis, you know, just saying really absurd and weird stuff. And in doing so, and in such a threatening manner, got this one UFO researcher to just throw his stuff into the trash. So, like, it's full of very weird stuff like that. Just, like, how familiar is Serena Jade with, like, UFO lore, would you say?
As much as anyone else in the town would be, but not a, like an expert on UFO lore. Reading that example with the pelvis, I immediately pick up my phone and I tweet at the Coral Chemical Company and I say, "Hey, social media worker shill, I bet it must hurt sitting at that desk all day with no pelvis, lol. And I wait for the notification to see if this new technique I learned works.
You do get a response, and all it says is, "That really hurt." And they say nothing else.
Coral Chemical Company 0, Serena 1.
And with that, we're going to cut to Desdemona. And Desdemona, introduce us to Birdie.
Okay. So Birdie practically lives at the saucer swirl. She wakes up with the birds. Say that. She'll take care of her errands and stuff early in the morning, you know, drop off her videos, the video store, whatever she needs to do. I'm usually the first one to saucer swirl in the morning. Open the doors, turn on the open sign, make the coffee, listen to Art Hasty, you know, get the juices flowing. I'll sit there, drink some coffee, make myself breakfast, waiting on the cook and everybody to get there. Maybe pull myself a tarot card to see how the day is going. My tarot cards are, they're cat themed. Today's card is the Ace of the Sea. So I'm thinking maybe after work, if there's nothing going on, I might go to the lake. Obviously it's in the cards. I usually work through the lunch rush, maybe a little bit into the evening. Then I let the teens come in and deal with the dinner rush. And usually by then Remy is there, wanting into her stall so yeah. She can update the pictures and the strings and everything and give me 20 questions about what's going on for the day, what I heard, if there's any, you know, things that need to be solved. So she tends to start the evening off for me.
The typical day for Birdie. Okay. So it's a pretty, you know, busy day. Like, you know, the saucer swirl gets a lot of people for like a really unique like burger joint. It gets a lot of people. Like for those watching / listening, imagine if IHOP was UFO themed, and you kind of got the idea there. That's kind of what the vibe is like. And what they're known for is this really unique shake. And it's called the saucer swirl. It's basically like when you look into it, It looks like you're looking into the Milky Way galaxy on top, and they taste absolutely delicious. Like it's primarily what they're known for. As you're getting stuff ready for the day, your boss Bella Wood, you know, he walks in. Hey, Birdie, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, Bella.
It's gonna be a good day. I think it's gonna be a good day. We're gonna make the burgers, and I still keep getting complaints about those pancakes. I don't know what to do about them. They're telling me they're over salty, then they tell me they're not enough salty. I don't know what to do.
Maybe it's the kind of salt we're using.
Never thought about that. You're the smart one. You're the smart one. So he he goes and he's really contemplating the salt aspect. Here's an idea. What if we use that pink Himalayan stuff? Like,
what do you think about that? Healthier.
Yeah.
Have we looked into the food coloring? Is there sodium in the blue food dye?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let me take a look. No, it doesn't seem like there's sodium in the food dye, but, there's gotta be. I'm gonna have to really look over the, like, I'm not really good with the pancakes. Like, every time I make pancakes for my family, they always say, they taste like cardboard. And I just get them wrong. But, we'll keep cracking at it. We'll get this breakfast thing down, you know?
I got faith in us. If it's not the salt, we can change the dye.
Yeah. Like, it's gotta be something we could change. I'll go. When I get a chance, I'll go take a look at things from scratch, you know, and see what we can do there. So, for breakfast, you get your kind of regulars and stuff like that. Breakfast food is not really what the sausage world is known for, but around noontime, the foot traffic starts to pick up a little bit, and things are. Going really good, and there's a guy that comes in, sits down, and he's got like a laptop with him. He's got a file folder, and it's got pictures of people and such on the table. And one of those people that, while there for food, is definitely there to take up the like a booth and a lot of table space.
All right, well, good evening, sir, and welcome to the Saucer Swirl. Can I get you some coffee or tea?
Oh, yeah.
We have a wonderful, world-famous shake. Have you ever drank the Milky Way? Can't today.
Whoa. You're telling me I can drink the Milky Way? Holy crap. You're a hell of a salesperson. Yeah, I'll take one of those. Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, I'll give him the menu. And go start whipping up a shake.
Okay. And while you're doing that, like, he's really concentrated on his laptop, but he's also kind of like thumbing through, kind of someone who can multitask, and is just like thumbing through it a little bit, and also just kind of thumbing through this file folder and such. And yeah, like, you return to him, and, he asks, what's this out-of-this-world burger? Is it really out-of-this-world? I like my burgers, and, I'm particular, and if you're telling me this is out-of-this-world, is it really gonna blow my mind? Like, it says it will.
Well, if there's anything on the menu that's out-of-this-world, of course it's the shake, but I've got right here, because I mean, it is the Milky Way, but number two is definitely the burger. I recommend it medium, but how would you like it?
Medium sounds great. That's, like middle of the road. That's the way I like things, when it comes to the way that my food's cooked. Yeah, middle of the road. Yeah, that sounds great.
Perfect, perfect. And I'd like to say welcome to Sunderland, because I sure haven't seen your face around here before.
Oh, no. Yeah, you caught me. I'm new around here. I just came into town, you know, just researching some stuff, you know, just really curious about some stuff that goes around here.
Oh, you're researching Sunderland? Well, what could there possibly be to research around here?
You know, it's I've been following those folks at the newspaper, the Missing Times. And they got some really wild stories, you know, like their Twitter account is absolutely fantastic, you know, at Weird Sunderland, which if you're watching / listening to this, you can go follow it on Twitter. Go do it. At Weird Sunderland. Their account is just absolutely fantastic. You know, it's just, you know, you've got a really rich history here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those are good people. While you're at it, I do recommend listening to Art Hasty in the mornings. He'll really start your day out right. But yeah, he does tell some silly, awful silly stories sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Like the, I remember that one about the hitchhiking frogman. That's wild. That is absolutely wild.
How did he even explode?
Right? Like, that seems like a problem. And I mean, you know, if I was a frogman, I should know my limits and I should really, you know, kick the habit before it kicks me, but you know, you do what you can with what you got.
I've never encountered anything out of this world here except for the burger and the shake. No frog people or anything like that. But my name's Birdie, and what can I call you, sir?
Oh, my name is Forrest Philbrook.
Forrest Philbrook. All right. Well, I'm gonna go get that burger going for you, and you just make yourself at home.
Why, thank you. I appreciate that. And, he just, you know, continues to type away. There's two people that also come in. They are the staff at the Missing Times. Their names are Jude Fox and Paisley Dane. They go in and grab a booth, and, you know, you start to pick up, business starts to pick up a little bit more and more. But one thing you notice is that this Philbrook guy, he leaves the file folder open, and he has a bunch of photos of what look like, of what you know of as people who have gone missing in this town. And there's a handful, you know, quite a few, and they've never been seen again.
I'd like to greet Jude and Paisley at their table and let them know that they have a fan in the house today.
Oh, are you kidding me? We got a fan? That's fantastic. Oh, I'm gonna go introduce myself.
I'm gonna bring y'all's usuals over to the table. Y'all just make yourself at home over there. His name is Forrest. I think y'all are gonna be great friends.
Jude goes over there. I think Paisley's a little more, you know, distracted, just like kind of self-reserved, appreciates the weird stuff, but also appreciates, like, she's very introverted and just like keeps to herself and such. And it's around this time that Remy walks in.
I am probably going to rush right to Remy as soon as she walks in the door. Like, that guy Forrest, you see that guy over there? He's trying to steal your job, man. He's over here trying to find the missing people.
Wait, I'm sorry. Birdie, what? What? I'm sorry. I lost. What?
Sorry. Sorry, Remy. But something's actually finally happening today. If you look, you see over there, I got Jude sitting with this new guy. He's got all those papers on his desk, on the table. Okay. He's trying to move in here and take your job.
Wait, Now, as far as I know, they hadn't posted any open positions at the department. Now, they told me that they're going to rotate out as soon as some of them retire. And I know that's, I mean, one of them said he's probably not going to retire until he's about 6 feet under.
I tell you what, Remy, it's okay.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try, when I pick up his food, to get some of his evidence.
Well, now what? Now come here. Wait, I'm gonna just like ease you over to the side.
I'm gonna guide you to the table next to him. to the booth.
We're gonna sit here. All right, and I'm like nervously like looking down, and I say a little too loudly. I'll be like, "Well, yes, I will have one of your world famous milkshakes, one of your cosmics. Thank you very much, and you know the flavor I like."
Coming right up, ma'am.
Yeah. I'll like awkwardly lean over. Milkshakes are great.
Oh yeah, like this is absolutely delicious. Like I've never tasted anything like it before. Forrest Philbrook, nice to meet you. Puts out a hand.
Forrest, my name is Remy Dean. If somebody's being mean, you can call Remy Dean. What are you in town for?
Oh, you know, you ever listen to podcasts?
I occasionally do. There is this one that I enjoy called Our Strange Skies. It's very interesting. It talks a lot about UFO sightings and weird encounters. You know, around this neighborhood, occasionally you got to listen to those to keep up with what might be happening to people. Oh, yeah, podcast. I'm familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got myself a little podcast, and you know, I like to. There's something that kind of brought me to town. Something I've been researching. Something that some people brought to my attention, and it's really interesting.
Do you mind if I join you instead? Do you mind?
Please do. Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to hear more about it. Come on over, and I'm just gonna like kind of sidle in and start listening intently.
So he starts talking about his podcast. It's a podcast called Legendary Myths. It's an intensely researched podcast. These episodes are endless. They are long as hell, and he does like these long series. He did like a 6-parter on Bigfoot that's like 15 hours long. It's absolutely ridiculous. But I got this tip from this guy worked at the Coral Chemical Company, and he said that there's a lot of missing people associated with that company, and you know, I'm kind of looking into it, but like there isn't a clear connection. I haven't been able to find one, and you know, I'm new in town anyway. I don't know a lot of people, so like I'm just like trying to research and see what I can find. But would any of these people be familiar to you? And he takes like 5 photographs and puts them in front of you.
I'd like to show up and Remy, here's your shake. What are you going to be eating?
And
I'm going to deliver Jude his food. Are you all hitting it off?
Forrest and I were just talking about his research project.
Yeah, you know,
what are you researching?
There's just, you know, somebody kind of pointed me in the direction of this town, because there's like, do y'all have a fair amount of missing people here? Because it just, it just seems kind of weird. Like,
here's the thing about the coral chemical plant now, the coral, I look around as if somebody were listening, the coral cleaning plant, sometimes people get sick. Sometimes, people walk off the job, and you know, we can't always be accountable for people disappearing or leaving unexpectedly. It does happen, and we do take it very seriously. But I guess you could say they're missing. I mean, they didn't come back to work, but from what I've heard from a couple of friends of mine, it's not exactly a place you make a career, if you follow my meaning. You know, you go, you make your minimum wage, and you leave.
You saying they have a high turnover rate? Is that what you're saying?
I would like to interrupt and say, Remy, now you know my dad worked at the chemical company for his whole life.
Well, yeah, but he didn't go missing. I bet he really liked it.
He did. And I can tell you that this town would not be the same without this company. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think we have any more missing people than any other town.
Oh, take like a, you know, St. Louis.
You realize that St. Louis is a big city, right? You guys aren't that big. You got like a pop, you're like pop 10,000 here versus St. Louis, which, you know.
I lean over to Birdie and I go, oh, that's per capita. That's right, per capita. Yeah, well, okay, you might have a point there, per capita. We are a little on the high end, yes.
I mean, you know, it's a big difference between like 10,000 and like 2.2 million. You know, that's a pretty big difference, I would say.
Sure, but,
yeah.
Just makes us homey. This is a nice place to be. And without that chemical company, well, there probably wouldn't be 10,000 people here.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, like, there's something weird about this chemical company. I don't know. It's just like, you know, all these people like worked for the chemical company. And like, I'm just trying to figure out if they all worked there when they went missing or, you know, what. But
well, are these five individuals you're showing me here, did they all work for the cleaning company? And I'll look down and do I recognize any of the five?
There are some names that are some photos that look really old that probably wouldn't. But there's a guy by the name of Reed Moss that does kind of ring a bell for you. And like Reed Moss went missing probably about 5 years ago. He did work for the Coral Chemical Company. People claimed that he went missing while fishing in the Blocher Woods at Mikalak Lake.
Would I recognize any of them, or perhaps Jude?
There is another one that you would recognize as a man by the name of Frankie Rose. And he allegedly disappeared in the 1960s. And the weird story about him is he walked into the local hospital and never walked out. And there were no eyewitnesses that ever attested to seeing him in the hospital at all. He just went missing.
Well, I mean, I know one of these. It does look like Reed Moss, who went missing near a local lake and forest around here. But I mean the other ones, I'm not very
around lakes and forests all the time. That lake it's serious.
What is it about the lake? Yeah, what is it about this lake, though? You know,
I mean, it's a large body of water. Sometimes accidents happen.
Sometimes you go skinny dipping.
It's deep, though. So
yeah.
What, you got like sharks in there or something? You know, like.
Nothing like sharks. But you know, you get done working, you get tired, you think, yeah, you're hot, and you go for a swim, and oops, I drowned.
Is that how it happens?
A little too deep. That's exactly how it must have happened for Reed. I know that guy over there. Is that Frankie Rose?
Yeah, that's Frankie Rose.
I think my dad told me something about him. He was on his way to the hospital or something. He disappeared.
Interesting. On the way to the hospital.
Maybe there was an accident at the chemical company, or he hurt himself somehow and he was on his way to the hospital. He walked into the hospital, but I don't remember the rest of the story.
Rob, would we have information about an event that happened at the cleaning company in the past? Like, would there be some kind of, or not to our recollection?
There isn't a lot. Like, if you're thinking about like safety or like, you know, like safety violations or anything like that, not really. Like, there isn't a lot of.
Yeah, you know how restaurants get, like, they were cited and, like, right. I didn't know if there was, like, a citation or something. They had 50 rats and a rotten celery stalk or something, you know?
Nothing like that. Nothing
Dude,
like that at all.
You and Paisley are always going on about this stuff. Do you remember what happened to Frankie? Or
you know, it... That's just a weird one, because, like, he just walked into the hospital. That's what everybody, that's like, there's supposedly some camera footage of him walking into the hospital and just disappear. Like, but nobody ever saw him walk in. Nobody ever claimed it. Like, you know, we even talked to him, you know, we headed up there, you know, not long after it happened, but nobody claimed to have seen him, like, at all. And it's it's at this time that Serena Jade walks in.
Do we see her pull up in her new car?
No, it's still the old car. Still the old car, but you know, if you're looking out the window, yeah, you would recognize her pulling up in her car.
I would see this car with the broken taillight and the tint still on, and I just kind of like shake my head.
Yeah, you're like you're probably like staring through the window, like you're kneeling up on the seat, and you're looking out the window and just like shaking your head at her.
Hi friends. Hey, I am gonna get that window tint fixed. I just, you know, just been so like crazy busy, like with my job and, you know, running a business, and I'll just, you know, I promise, Ronnie, I'll get around to
Serena.
It.
Welcome. I hope you're having a good evening. Do you want to join these guys here, or do you want your usual table?
Well, sure. I could join my friend Remy. Who's this new friend you've made?
Scoot on over, Jude, and make room for her.
And he's like, "Oh yeah, sure." And he does.
You want the vegan burger, right, Remy?
yes. Please.
So
Pace is still just clean. Like, I don't ever put anything unhealthy in this body.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's all clean. Yeah, Paisley's keeping to herself over in her thing, and she like looks over, she's like, people, and just like keeps like doing her thing. And so you're all like huddled in this one booth, and you know, just going over these like missing persons cases. And there's Serena, there is one that seems familiar to you. And it's like a story that somebody told you, like, maybe like, you know, months ago or something like that. But a guy named Grayson Burris, he went missing while he was at the Brazel farm. He knew the Brazel family, and he was just over for a visit, and he walked into their cornfield and just disappeared. At least that's what the story is.
How long ago did this happen?
You're talking like this is the heyday of the Brazel farm. It isn't what it used to be. The Brazel farm, they sell like mostly corn, but they also sell like bean crops too. Now, you know, they sell on a much smaller scale, and mostly to kind of like local restaurants and stuff like that. They do sell some stuff to the saucer swirl, but yeah, he just kind of walked into the cornfield. The Brazel family, you know, just kind of dared him to run into the field, and he did, and never walked out.
You said I recognize him?
Yeah, Grayson Burris is his name.
I kind of took a glance at that picture, and I said, did you know Grayson? Why do you have this picture?
Because he's one of the missing people that I'm, you know, investigating here. I'm just a simple podcaster, and like I like to go deep. My research goes as deep as Mel's hole. Okay, that's how deep it goes.
Oh.
And you know, Mel's hole is like it's practically bottomless, and like you know, it goes a hell of a lot deeper than Dugan's hole. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I've been to Dugan's hole.
Yeah, Dugan's hole goes real deep. Have you listened to Tri-Coastal? They're not on air anymore, but I still listen to reruns whenever I, you know, I do my morning workout. Serena definitely does.
Yeah. I absolutely love, you know, anytime that I can catch those reruns. I love that Drip Chin guy. He's fantastic. But yeah. Like, yeah, you know, like there are some favorites that I, you know, still keep on my podcast app and revisit every now and then.
Well, now, listen, you've come to Sutherland, and basically, I mean, we're a unique town. I mean, there's reportings of sightings. I mean, I don't know if you've listened to the radio when you came in, or if you're walking around. This town is full of stories of missing people, encounters. You know, that's our shit. You know, that's our gig. That's the thing we do. I mean, sure, they're missing, and it might make for a great story, and I would be glad to listen to your podcast and speak on stuff, but these are all just stories, you know? I mean, can we help in any way? Are you looking for some help in your stories? I'm sure we could provide some guidance and tell you where to go. If you go down to Jay's Groceries, they got a great candy section. You can have some snacks while you go to some areas, you know. But I don't know what you're looking for. If you're looking for the truth, I mean, it's not here.
Just what is the truth behind these disappearances in Sunderland? Is it all just one big collection of coincidence, or is there something deeper? Well, if there wasn't something deeper, then there wouldn't be a podcast now, would there? I'd like to thank you all if you've made it this far, and if you go a little further, I promise you won't be disappointed. There's a lot of fun. You are in store for a lot of fun. Art Hasty was voiced by my good friend Brian Hasty of the Double Density Podcast. Remy Dean was played by Chris Russo. Serena Jade was played by Jennifer Taylor. You can check her out on the Vanish Podcast. And Birdie was played by Desdemona. Desdemona does all of our show art, so if you're intrigued by that, go follow her Instagram in the show notes. You can follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and on Instagram at SunderlandRPG. And if you want more weird lore about the town of Sunderland, check out at WeirdSunderland on X, again, formerly known as Twitter. Until next time, welcome to Sunderland. If you see something, don't say a fucking thing.